Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the midday show with Andy and Randy. Coming to you live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come by. Say hello. We're here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Still a ton to get into, Randy. Our college football corner coming up in about 25 minutes. A good friend of yours.
My guy.
A very timely guest, given the fact that Georgia and Tennessee play tomorrow afternoon. We all like Veron for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons I like him best is because on the Hobnail boot drive, you did all the work, and he got this. Much like this show, Veron gets to take the credit for the drive, whereas you did all the work. Just like the midday show with Andy and Randy. I'll take the glory, you do the legwork. How's that sound? We'll talk to Veron Haynes coming up in about 25 minutes as we look ahead to Georgia and Tennessee tomorrow afternoon. We'll look at some of the other big games in college football as well in our college football corner. Also, early edition of Sports Jeopardy coming up at 11:40, because at 12:40, when we normally play Sports Jeopardy, Nick Green is going to join us and give us a player's perspective on what went wrong with the Braves last night, maybe give us some optimism about the Braves game tonight as they start at 4:37 to this afternoon in Game 2 against the Cardinals. Mike Foltynewicz on the mound. But we always kick off the 11 o'clock hour with an NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up, another way they make you smile. Huge game for the Braves tonight, obviously. Huge game for the Falcons on Sunday in Houston against the Texans. Grady Jarrett talked yesterday about how nobody thought the Falcons would be 1-3.
Nobody thought we would. I think we definitely got the fight, the wherewithal to try to get right on the right track. And I think there's a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff out there for us. And I definitely putting everything I can, trying to encourage guys as much as I can to get this thing on the right track, because, I mean, I think, you know, we got a lot of stuff still in front of us.
Yeah, Grady's been really good.
He's been playing well.
Grady's been
banged up a little bit.
A part of the solution. He's been an asset,
yeah,
not a liability. Grady's got to have a really good game tomorrow.
He does.
And I think everyone on that defensive line has to have a good game tomorrow. The Texans, surprisingly, have actually run the ball really well this year.
Yeah, because they can't throw it.
Yeah.
Well, they can't protect him.
They can't protect him.
Yeah, they can't protect him. As great as he was in that New Orleans game that we saw on that Monday night, it was amazing that the Saints in the Texans game, as great as Deshaun was, he was still getting pressure. They were all over him. Don't let this be the game that O-line can protect him, because last week that was the game that the O-line protected Marcus Mariota.
Yes, to an extent, I agree with you. Absolutely. The Falcons did not get enough pressure on Marcus Mariota last week.
They got a little bit.
They didn't get him on the ground. They did get a little bit.
There was an
intentional grounding penalty. Yeah. There was a lot of times. It was very clear that Mariota's directive from the coaching staff was, anytime there's pressure,
throw it away.
Try to make sure you're out of the pocket, throw it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Immediately. Because it was probably five or six times where Mariota just airmailed it into the crowd, which was the right thing to do.
Right.
Live to play another down and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time,
you gotta force him into throwing an interception.
Right. Force him into throwing an interception, or, like, you know, he had been sacked 17 times leading into the game, maybe get one. You're talking about a similar number this week with the Texans. Deshaun Watson's been sacked 18 times in four games. 32 quarterback hits in four games. That's second in the league to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are intentionally trying to lose. Like, we're talking about legitimately a worse offensive line than what the Tennessee Titans had.
Yes.
So don't do what you did against the Tennessee Titans. You have to show, if the Falcons are ever going to show up and have a pass rush,
which I don't know if
they're going to, Sunday needs to be the day.
That is true, because, I mean, we thought it was going to be last week because of everything you just said about the stats. I remember we read that off maybe four or five times Thursday and Friday. You can say it again this week.
It's the exact same thing,
It's the exact same thing. You should be able to get after them, man. And for them not to be able to, I think we already know who these guys are. It's like, I don't see Vic or Tack having a Von Miller moment. But get you one. You know, get a half.
Yeah, share one.
Y'all share one.
Share one. Like how about that? Against
y'all,
the Colts.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all, how about y'all just share the sack, man? Because right now, if that doesn't, if this operation right there, and we're talking about up front, doesn't get better, Trufant and Isaiah and KZ and Ricardo and all these boys, they're gonna have a long year.
Yeah,
man.
And look, it's on they them. It's year. On them too to be better.
Oh, you got
to
cover.
Like what Desmond Trufant did on the first touchdown last Sunday was unacceptable. Yeah. It can't happen again. That's unacceptable for a rookie.
Yeah.
It's especially unacceptable for a highly paid veteran corner to be doing something like that. But it would be nice if one of these guys would heat up the quarterback and give Desmond an opportunity to jump a route or something like that.
Let's get a sack fumble. Let's get something.
Something
Let's
like
get
that.
Something. How about you leave a game with a positive, you know what I'm saying, with the positive turnover one?
Here's something that we know that Deshaun Watson will do, though. He'll hold the ball.
Oh, he will give you, between that offensive line and Deshaun holding the ball, you should get him.
But a big part of Deshaun Watson holding the ball too long, though, doesn't that have to do with there being some level of coverage?
Yes.
In the secondary?
Or he's waiting for somebody to come open or something like that. I mean, the boy is special. I mean, Deshaun Watson
is incredibly
good. He's special, man. He is a special talent. But y'all can get after him. And, you know, Nuke, he had a great game against the Saints. He's been meh, but he's still that dude, though. Don't get it twisted. Don't let this be today. That's what I mean. I think that should be the motto for this weekend going into the Falcons. First of all, win, and number two, don't be that. Don't let that team do you like that.
I know, but didn't that what we said like last week? Last week was don't be on Derrick Henry's highlight reel.
Yeah,
and I guess no one was.
Nobody was.
We weren't specific enough about what we were asking for. Don't let this be the week that the Tennessee Titans pass game gets going.
Yeah,
I keep calling them Tennessee
Houston
Titans.
Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. Maybe it's because Tennessee was the Oilers, and then Oilers were in Houston. No, maybe it's because I'm an idiot.
I like how you tried to
frame that, though.
I like that.
That's what we call a bunker justification right there. The Houston Texans. Don't let this be the week that the Houston Texans pass game gets going because you can't get to the quarterback and you can't cover anybody. Now, Julio Jones met with the media yesterday as well. Tell me if you agree with what Julio Jones says here.
We're a way better ball club than we presented last Sunday, just all around.
Just the way we took the field, the way we executed everything, it wasn't us. We play hard as hell, always, but just detail-wise, it was always one guy here and there.
You want to talk about voices that don't match the the person?
Now, here's the thing. What did you ask me about Julio? Do I agree with him?
Is that right?
No.
I don't agree either.
Yeah, I don't agree. But he has to say that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would have said the same thing.
But I think I would have said the same thing last week.
Yeah,
and I think I did say the same thing last week, that the Falcons are better than what they're showing you.
Yeah.
But after a while.
But are they?
I don't think they are.
But I mean, we've had Wes. We had Dave on this week. We had Harry on this week. And all of them keep coming back to the same thing. And Julio said it right there. The details, those small things are what keeps getting you beat. And like I always, this is always my favorite phrase. You got too many my bad moments. And that's what Julio said. It's always one guy here, one guy there. It's going to be mistakes. But for some reason, it seems like everybody just taking turns. Everybody take a turn.
Right.
And what did Wes say when you hit yourself in the chest? Yeah, we know it's you. Stop it.
Wes also made a point and used a phrase. Yeah, I know it's you. I know it's your fault. I watched. Everyone knows. Wes said the same thing, too. He said, everyone knows it's your fault. Everyone just saw it on TV.
You know what I'm
saying? Whole nation knows it's your fault. Stop making mistakes. Owning up to it is great.
Oh, we love it. Thank you. You know it's on you.
What's better is not making the mistake in the first place. I love what Wes said, though, too, when we talked to him yesterday. He said, make your layups.
Yeah.
That's the stuff you got to do
as
a football team that's going to try to win games. Yeah, okay. Occasionally, you're going to have those great – Julio's going to make a great play or two. Matt Ryan's going to make a great throw or two. Hit the easy stuff. Do the stuff that you've been doing since you were playing peewee football, and that's what's infuriating, Randy. But to me, that's not a football team that you can justify by saying we're better than what we're showing because you're continuing to do the easy things poorly. If you do the easy things poorly, then you're not good.
Yeah.
Even if you do the really hard things
occasionally. I'm talking about the bomb plays. Yes,
I don't care about
because
that.
Those things right there, it's always a little thing that get team beat. It usually is. I had a lapse in my technique. I jumped offside. It's 3rd and 1. We got them off the field. But you know what? I lined up offside. I mean, all these things are what's killing Atlanta. And until they get it fixed, they're just going to keep losing. That's why I'm like, what do we say? We're going to stop saying they're a better team. No, we're going to say they can win this football game.
Yeah,
they can beat the Texans at home. They can do that.
I'm going to say they're a better team than someone when they show me that they're a better team than someone. And that was my mantra last week leading into the Titans game. And I was wrong. They were not the better team than the Titans on the field on Sunday. I think that on paper, sure. But we know games aren't played on paper, and this game's not going to be played on paper either. One thing that we do know, though, where the Falcons might not have an advantage on paper is trying to stop that pass rush.
Yeah.
Because Whitney Mercilus is a very good player.
Yes, he is.
J.J. Watt's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And we're talking about a Falcons offensive line that's banged up this Sunday.
Banged up.
That scares me.
And the thing about those two guys, the game wreckers. They're not just good players. They're game wreckers. J.J. Watt can wreck a football game because he's that good. He can do certain things on the field that other defensive linemen can't do. And that's the thing about it. If you think he's going that way, he backdoors you. And he's good enough to backdoor a guard that's – you know, trying to cut him off or something and make the tackle for loss because he's that great. You don't teach that technique, but he can do it.
Well, he does stuff like when we talk about Vic and Tack, we say don't try to be Superman because you're probably not Superman.
Right.
Just do what you could do.
Right.
J.J. Watt can try to be Superman because he's pretty close.
Did you see that play Aaron Donald made last night? He played behind the block. Can't do that.
Aaron Donald.
He's good. He can do that. you don't coach that, but – he made the play.
We'll make our picks for that game coming up a little bit later. We've got our keys to the game coming up in our lunchtime Falcons report at 12:20. And it's specific to what the Texans do, but it's also basic stuff that you want to see, for me at least, with my keys that I wrote down and some of the matchups that I'm watching. I'm just still looking for the same things every single weekend, Randy. Maybe I'm going to smarten up eventually and stop expecting it. But I'm basically looking for the same things that I've been looking for from this football team for a month now.
Yep.
And you've said it since the beginning of the season. You've said it every football season I've worked with you for the past, whatever, four or five falls. You kind of have an idea of who a team is through a quarter of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Falcons can give us a different idea of who they are in the second quarter of the season. Because you said it earlier this week, and I agree. They failed the first quarter.
Yep. It's flat F. I know they do these quarter things, and I think somebody gave them a D. No, that was a fail.
That was an F.
That was
an F minus.
And the thing with it is that what have they done good throughout the first quarter of the season? I'm trying to feel like you asked Wes and Dave that same thing. What's surprising? What have the Falcons done that you can say, oh, that's pretty good?
When I agreed with what Dave Archer told us when I asked him that question, he said certain individuals have been good.
Yes, but you just can't win this game with individuals.
No, you cannot.
You know what I'm saying?
Because if it's good, the Falcons would be undefeated right
now. Yeah, this ain't tennis or nothing like that. You need – that's why I love football. It's the greatest team sport ever. That's why I love it so much. You got to have the dude. Your dudes – we know that the Falcons, we know that their dudes, they're going to do their thing. It's everybody else that got to come along too.
Did you ever get an F on a test or on a paper and change it?
Of course.
What did you change it to?
I would try to do a B because Mama wouldn't.
See, you're smart.
Yeah, Mama went. Mama knew her son.
That's how I know Randy's smart.
Yeah, Mama knew her son.
Crazy people try to change an F to an A.
Yeah.
First of all, Fs and As don't even look alike.
Right.
Bs, you can curve it in there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, Mama knew her son. She knew I wasn't making no A. She looked at me side-eye when I came in with a B.
How'd you do this?
How'd you do it?
One time I got a 9% on a math test. And I thought it said 91
because
I just looked at it real quick. And I brought it home and left it on the counter. Mom's like, 9%? You could have guessed and done better.
You could have wrote your name.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to write my name. That was the problem. Fun Thursday night football game last night.
You talked
about Aaron Donald being really good. I think the Seahawks actually did a pretty good job of taking him out of the game at times, though, too. And that's just a credit to Russell Wilson being, ridiculously elusive.
How many sacks does Aaron miss on him per game?
How many sacks did Russell Wilson save his offensive
line? Oh, so many. So
ten,
many.
Like 10.
So many of them.
Like 10.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson demonstrated, look, I've been talking about this for a long time. I know a lot more people are coming along on this one. Russell Wilson is one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL. He's an MVP candidate this
year. That's how great he is. And I know a lot of people give him slack because they do run the football a lot. Last year they ran the ball more than anybody, and that's what Pete Carroll wants to do. But this – and we talked about this, me, you, and Brian. That's the model for Seattle. Seattle don't blow a lot of people out. They keep it close. Mm-hmm. They don't let you pull away. It's hard for them to pull away. And then what did it say? Russ, go win the game for us.
Yep.
And a lot of times he does.
And he did.
Yeah, but they lose if Zuerlein doesn't miss the field goal.
If Zuerlein makes a field goal, they lose. I mean, there was a billion decisions that were made late in that game that were confusing. We sit here and the last couple of years have been frustrated about Sark, and this year we're frustrated about Cutter and some of what they're doing offensively. Did you see the play they ran on 3rd and 2?
What the heezy?
They needed 2 yards to win the game. They would have won the game if they needed 2 yards.
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer dialed up an option.
Like an option.
Like it was a college football game.
Hey, if you were listening to the broadcast like that, they were like, we didn't know Shotty was up here. You know what I'm saying? Dude, go for that ride, okay? Let Russell Wilson get you, you know. What the heck was that?
I mean, maybe a read option. but don't have him. He pitched it to Tyler Lockett like 6 yards deep in the backfield. Yeah, that was an interesting decision,
like,
to say
I
the
say,
least.
Football's easy. Coaches make it hard.
Coaches make it
they
hard.
Do.
How
I
would you call
huge.
That? Just hand it to the running back and try to get
2 yards.
Because
they couldn't stop Carson. He was running. He was
averaging 5 yards a carry.
Goodness,
Does Stephon Diggs have the cachet to be trying to pull what he's trying to pull right now?
I don't think he does, but hey, who knows? Who knows? But he said he didn't want no trade. Is he jealous of the relationship with Thielen because Kirk came out and apologized to him and not you? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know, man.
I don't know what's going on there in Minnesota. But Stephon Diggs sounds like he might want out of there.
Bye.
Okay, see ya.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
he makes a lot of money.
You know, he does. And they just gave a new contract and everything. I love Diggs. I think the dude is a baller. I was kind of curious about what the heck he was doing in Green Bay when you're losing and you catch a touchdown, you rip your helmet off, cost your team 15 yards. For what? You mad? I mean, come on, man.
Don't do that. Be smarter than that.
Come on, man. I just don't get it, man. Hey, the Atlanta Hawks' first preseason game is this is on Monday, October 7th versus
Monday.
Pelicans.
Wow.
So Zion and them are going to be in here. The tip-off is at 7:30, but come early and stay late. And enjoy amazing amenities at the award-winning State Farm Arena. That thing is so nice. Limited seats remain. So be sure to purchase your tickets at hawks.com/tickets.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to the College Football Corner. We'll take a look at some of the big games this weekend. Of course, Georgia and Tennessee. We reminisce about the Hobnail Boot game. And our guest, Verron Haynes. Verron Haynes is going to join us coming up next and get us ready for this game tomorrow as well. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Twin Peaks at Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College Football Corner. News and notes from around the world of college football with the world's greatest flag football kicker, Andy Bunker.
Big freaking deal.
And the best tight end in UGA history, Randy McMichael.
And now, Green makes him line up on the right in the slot. We have three receivers. Tennessee playing what amounts to a 4-4 fake. And there's a touchdown! Touchdown, my God, a touchdown! We threw it to Haynes! We just stepped up a 5-second slip! My God almighty, did you see what he did? David Green just straightened up, and we snuck the fullback over. Haynes is keeping the ball. Haynes has come running all the way across to the bench. We just dumped it over, 26-24. We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose. We just crushed their face.
Oh, one of the all-time great calls.
That still breathes a big smile in my face.
Yes,
man.
A huge smile.
Oh, my
and
God.
And a chuckle, and your whole body language is better. We needed something like
that. I needed that right there,
the
man.
The legend Larry Munson there with one of his legendary calls as Georgia beats Tennessee back in, was that 2001.
Yes.
What's funny about the call is that sounds like 1956. And maybe it's because we get it off YouTube or something like that, but he's got that classic voice.
Yeah.
And there's like the crackle in the background. Like that sounds like the famous calls of like the shot heard around the world or something like that. It wasn't that long ago.
No.
But still an amazing moment. We thought we might as well, while we're talking about it, looking ahead to Georgia and Tennessee tomorrow, we'll bring on the guy that scored the touchdown. Verron Haynes joins us here
my
on the
dog,
Midday Show.
My brother.
With Andy and Randy. How are you, Verron?
I'm well, Andy. Hey, first and foremost, let me just tell you, I had to solicit Randy to get me on to the show. Shame on you, Randy McMichael.
Okay, but first of all, I wasn't going to tell anybody that. I wasn't going to be like, hey, Verron texted me yesterday like, damn, dog, how you going to have me on your show? It's Tennessee week. I wasn't going to tell people that. You know, I thought that was going to be, you know, between me and you.
We're going to be all the way 100 with these folks. I love my brother.
It did happen that way, ladies and gentlemen. Verron texted me during the show yesterday. It was like, and I was like, damn, he is kind of right. I have not had him on the show and everything. And it is Tennessee week, and we just started our show, so might as well have him on. But I'm glad you're here, brother. And, I mean, just tell me, how do you feel every time you hear? I mean, to me, Verron, it feels like the first time every time I hear it.
Randy, I said this last week when I spoke in Athens. I said, I get nervous right before that play because if you watch it, we're on the sidelines, right? Coach Rick calls that timeout, and then I'm looking at it like if I looked at it for the first time, I don't know what happened. I'm like, dude, you know the outcome of the game. You score. So you guys go on and win. Like, it behooves me because every single time Larry Munson puts you in that same realm that we was in 2001.
You know, the truth, though, Verron, and maybe why Randy didn't call you to have you on, is because he feels like he doesn't get enough credit for that drive. Like
really?
He feels like he did all the work, and you're the one that gets the glory for it. So maybe that's why he didn't call you.
Really?
Well, let me just say this. Every single time I get asked about that play, I always credit Randy McMichael for catching those one-handed passes, Jermaine Phillips for doing what he did on that interception, Damian Gary for getting this down, for returning that punt, and our defense for getting us, keeping us in that game. They were, you got to remember, they were the number five ranked team in the nation at the time. So we were like, yo, no holds barred. Let's just go out there and do what we do. And I think, honestly, that was the moment. Remind me, Randy, wasn't that the moment that we all, like, the people that was on the outside kind of like, maybe this finish the drill thing, maybe – maybe it could go either way. That's when we came together as a team and bonded.
It was a great moment. I just remember Coach Rick's his message right before we got on the plane to go up to Knoxville. He was like, we're going to be like some commando air troopers. He's going to fly in here and get the win and all that. But I always wanted to tell you this, but you know they almost didn't call that play. You know, because they were on the sideline. I remember we ran up to the sideline. They were like, let's call McMichael. It's a play designed for me. And you, of course, said, no.
Yeah.
No. I'm like, hold on, I caught all these balls to get us here. Can I? But then when he called pass 44 Haynes. Mark Rick did. No. We're going to go pass. Yeah, we're going to go with pass 44 Haynes. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to work. And I'd be dogging it didn't work. And he actually didn't say no. He just said, no, I think I want to run something else. But, yeah, when he called pass 44 Haynes, everybody's like, oh, we got him. Oh, we got him. We got him.
So
and now, there it was right
so
there.
Now, so now and, you just heard an exclusive from Randy McMichael.
I'll
give you my exclusive. My first ever touchdown that I ever scored was because of Randy McMichael. There you go. Shout out to you for doing that for me.
But, I was telling them it was whenever we would get down to the one, he was the fullback, and we had a play called 32 belly. So the fullback gets the ball, touchdown. Well, they would always switch Varon, right? And Varon was, he was a walk-on and got a scholarship and everything. And so Coach Donna gives him the play. He's like, Randy, 32 belly. I'm like, okay, no problem. So I'm running in the field like, hold on. Man, you ain't going to do my boy Varon like that again. So I get in the huddle, and I tell Quincy to play, and I say, hey, y'all don't switch. Varon, stay at fullback. And so Varon, and I told him right before the play, I said, man, you better daggone score. I done changed this play for you.
I don't think that's how you say
it. Yeah, I ain't say it like that. But I'm like, hey, you better score. Because I just changed this play for you right here, Varon. So you better score. He scored. He cleated. His cleat went into my leg. I still got the scar to this day that when he cleated me, it took a chunk out of my leg from us celebrating everything. But, yeah, I mean, it was always a pleasure to play with you, my brother. And, I mean, when can we get over this hump, man? When can the Dawgs get over this hump, V?
Man, I think we are close. What you're seeing right now, Randy, is a lot of grit, a lot of determination, and I think Kirby has finally got the culture that he wants around that atmosphere in at UGA.
Hey, Varon, how do you and again, we're talking to Varon Haynes, former Georgia Bulldog, played with Randy, obviously scored the touchdown on the famous hobnail boot play. How do you interpret the win over Notre Dame? I know there was a lot of different reactions after that game, people saying they should have won by this, they should have done that. When you're watching that game and now that you've had a little bit of time to think about it, what do you take away from that win?
I take away smart play calling, smart knowing that we were, right before the game, we were down a defensive guy, right? And then we lose one early, our two corners, best of corners. And what we go to now is management, because we weren't expecting big number 84 to come out there. That was his first appearance, so we had no answer for it. So that was Kirby, the genius of Kirby, on the fly, switching things. But a lot of people missed that.
Oh yeah, they did, and again, hey, a win's a win in my book, and I don't even care as long as you got one more point. The other one. Hey man, AV, my brother, we appreciate you so much giving us a few minutes of your time today. You know I love you, brother, and we'll catch up real soon. We'll catch up real soon because I got to come out to the house.
No doubt, I love you too, and thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, brother. All right, brother. Take care.
Verron Haynes there. Obviously a perfect time to be talking to him as Georgia plays Tennessee tomorrow. You take a look back at one of the great wins Georgia had over Tennessee, number five in the country at the time, was, on the road. Loudest game you've ever set.
I'm telling you. Said, I mean, when Travis Stevens caught that ball, that screen pass,
yeah,
and was running down the dig on sideline, I swear to you, the cups on the Gatorade thing, they fell. I mean, it was like a damn wow. earthquake when that happened. And that's what I talk about when I talk about the Tennessee fans and everything. This I don't care about them or whatever, but this ain't fair to them. This product they're putting on is not – man, that is – Neyland Stadium is a great place to play a football game. It can be intimidating. And they got to find a way to get this thing right, man, because that's what you saw from losing to Georgia State, really? And congratulations again to Georgia State, but – that don't happen in Neyland.
Sure.
That don't happen.
No, I think that this game tomorrow, and thinking back to what that game was and what that program was at that time and where they are now, is a great sort of comparison.
Yeah.
It's sad. If you're just a fan of college football and you think of programs that you want to see have, you know, at least some level of national cachet that makes the SEC better, that makes games like Georgia-Tennessee better, it's crazy to think that Georgia fans could go up there to Knoxville tomorrow,
yes,
and have the red and black checker thing like they're planning.
Yeah,
like, if that happens, like, that's so embarrassing as a program for Tennessee. And look, I just as a neutral observer of the SEC, I hope they figure it out, because it's more fun for everybody when there's better teams on both sides of the aisle in the SEC. Georgia Tech plays UNC tomorrow. UNC coming off of what was almost the biggest upset of the season over Clemson. Georgia Tech coming off of what was a really frustrating and disappointing performance against Temple. They scored 2 points. I think UNC comes into Atlanta tomorrow and takes care of Georgia Tech pretty easily.
I do too, man. The thing with Georgia Tech, And the reason they don't have an identity, because you got a new coach. He's trying to build a culture there and everything. Once again, you got to get your quarterback. That's the most important thing. But some of the ways they lose, like, you're like, where, who's going to – that's how you are with Tech. Like, who is it? I mean, it's just not good ball right now.
Well, and it's not. It's not good ball in the way that we thought
that
it wasn't.
Yes,
but in the way that we kind of predicted this year might go, because of the fact that your roster is constructed of players that were for a different system, they're trying to implement an entirely new system, and trying to do that while playing and winning football games is really tough. And look, I don't know, maybe by the end of the year they'll win a couple more games, but to lose to the Citadel and then to lose last week the way that they did to Temple, they had a safety. That's the only points they scored last week, is really frustrating. What do you see happening in the Florida-Auburn game?
I think that Florida's going to have a hard time blocking Auburn. I think that's going to be the key, is the trenches right there. I think because Florida's offensive line is – they haven't been running the ball. Trask has been okay, but that offensive line will not be able to block Auburn's. I think it'll be close. I think it's going to be an ugly game.
Me too.
But I think, you know, I think the dominance of the front seven of Auburn is the key.
I think it's going to be one of those games that, when you think about the stereotypical SEC game from a decade ago, I think this game's going to kind of look like that, like 14-9 or something like that.
Hey, our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament is coming up. It's on Wednesday, October 23rd from 4 to 7. It's at the Stars and Strikes in Sandy Spring, and it's benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation. We will have a lot of celebrities in the house. We'll all be there with our own team, so make sure you click on Randy's team, because we will win. It's a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes. For ticket information, go to the events page at 929thegame.com. Yeah.
Wow, Joe Namath over here, huh? Guaranteeing.
Come with me.
I'm bringing my trophy. I don't know if Randy has one for bowling or not.
We're right by the store that they bought that trophy at.
I don't care.
Bye.
I earned that trophy. We'll come back. We're going to make our picks against the spread an hour early this week. We're also going to play Sports Jeopardy coming up right after this on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Twin Peaks Buckhead.
It's Andy and Randy.
So are you guys in a band or something?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, here with you on a Friday, live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the most important audio in the world, and we'll get back into what happened last night for the Atlanta Braves. I've got my anger power rankings. We can run through them. I know number one on my list is the same thing that's number one on your list, Randy. Number 77 in our programs, certainly not number one in our hearts. A lot of other stuff went wrong last night, too. We'll get into that for the Braves. And also look ahead to tonight, man. Like,
it's not over.
About it is, the series isn't over. They've got a chance to even things up tonight with Mike Foltynewicz on the mound.
It wasn't a playoff game. right. playoff play-in game.
Right, not like the Nationals. Yeah. You're actually in a series. Yeah. The Nationals are in a series now. They're down 1-0, by the way. The Nationals got beat last night 6-0 by the Dodgers, not surprisingly. All right, we'll get to all of that and more coming up in 20 minutes. But we're going to do Sports Jeopardy early because Nick Green is going to join us at 12:40 to talk some Braves. That also means we need to do our picks early. And Brian Gebhardt, I know you have our records as well as your picks and Wendy's picks.
Yeah, Andy, you are leading right now at 9-6-1 overall. You went 2-2 last week. Wendy's in second. She's at 8-7-1. She went 1-3 last week. I'm in third at 6-10, 2-2 last week. Randy hanging out back there at 5-11. Went 0-4. It was a rough week, but bounce back, you know? Yeah. We'll see.
Dang it. Wendy's, dang it.
Wendy's picks for this week.
Okay.
Oklahoma minus 32 Ooh. At Kansas.
I thought about that one.
Georgia minus 24.5 at Tennessee. That's good. Wendy picking Georgia. There I like that. Coming over to
man.
The dark side
oh,
there.
Oh, man.
No, that's fine.
That's a jinx.
They're going to cover.
She's right.
Her two NFL picks are Chargers minus 6 at home against the Broncos and the Cardinals plus 3 at the Bengals.
Okay.
My picks for this week, I am also going with Georgia, that minus 24.5 at Tennessee. I've got Army minus 2.5 at home against Tulane. My NFL picks, I'm going to say the first one really quickly so no one gets mad at me. Texans minus 4 at home against the Falcons.
Texans!
Yeah, I hope it doesn't happen.
Traitor.
Steelers plus 3.5.
Wendy's mad.
At home against the Ravens. That's what Wendy gets for picking Georgia. Yeah, I got to bring Wendy's it back
mad.
That way.
Wait, yeah. All right, whatever.
I'm going to take LSU minus 26 over Utah State. Okay. I'm going to take the 2.5 in Auburn over Florida. NFL, Bills plus 3 over the Titans. And I got Minnesota. and the minus 5 over the Giants.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, Wendy. Sorry. I've got Auburn covering the 2.5 at Florida. I've also got Ohio State covering the 20 versus Michigan State. In the NFL, Colts are going to keep it within 11 against the Kansas City Chiefs. They might not win, but they're going to keep it within 11. And I got the Bears covering the 5.5 in London against the Raiders. All right, those are our picks against the spread for this week. See how we did coming up next Friday. But as we always do
Randy.
On Fridays, let's play Sports Jeopardy. Andy, Randy, Andy. We know how it works, right?
Yeah,
those are our buzzers,
works, right?
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Our names are our buzzers. Whoever gets more wins, hopefully it'll be me.
The thing is, will Andy have that Brian Snicker face after Acuna didn't run it out to second last night after this?
Yeah, yeah.
You think that's going to happen?
Make with the questions. Come on.
Okay. All right. Tough guy.
Hurry up.
Who is the only player in MLB history to make an all-star game as a catcher and a second baseman?
Randy. I don't know.
Andy. Craig Biggio.
That is correct.
Okay.
You just said your name?
Yeah.
Without even knowing and then hoping it would come to you?
I thought I knew who it was.
Not even a guess?
Or is it, you didn't have a guess?
Hold on. We're going to move along with the questions, Andy. Okay. What is the only country to play in every World Cup?
Andy. Brazil.
That is correct.
Duh.
The 1980 classic Raging Bull is about what real-life boxer?
Randy. Rocky Marciano.
No.
Andy. Jake LaMotta.
That is correct.
Raging Bull. Oh, yeah, that dude.
Yeah, that one.
Dude. Oh, that movie about Jake LaMotta.
Yeah,
that movie about LaMotta.
I was thinking about the one about Rocky Marciano.
Can you see how frustrated I am?
I know. It's really bugging you.
Andy up 3-0. Here we go. What was the only team to win 2 World Series during the 1980s?
The 80s?
So
the 1980s. Only team to win 2 World Series
in that
decade.
Oh, only team to win 2.
Andy. The Dodgers.
That is correct.
Okay, because I didn't know.
88 and what? 83?
I believe what, it was 81. 81? The Fernando Valenzuela one?
Oh, yeah,
that
you're
was
right.
That year, yep.
81
and 88.
And then
88, Kirk
yep,
Gibson.
You got it. Yep.
What sport used the term home run long before baseball?
Randy. Cricket.
That is correct. All right, Randy on the board.
Damn it. You know Randy's going to get the cricket question right in his wheelhouse.
Who is the only person in NBA history to be named MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of
Randy.
The Year?
Larry Bird.
That is correct. All right.
Nice.
4-2. What MLB player retired with the same number of home runs as his dad?
Wow.
He retired, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Andy? Aaron Boone? No.
Nope. You got a guess, Randy?
I do not.
It's Prince Fielder.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yes, yes.
How many was it?
I don't have that number in front of me.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
wow, that's crazy.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Who is the only basketball coach to win an NCAA championship
and
an NBA championship? He said it first. Andy said it first.
Larry Brown.
Yeah.
That is correct. All right.
What's the tally right now?
It's 5-2 right now. Ooh, so Randy needs these nice next one. Three because we only have three left.
Okay.
To try to tie it. So Andy, if you get this one, you're the winner.
I'm not going to celebrate early like Ronald Acuna, but I feel good.
What former NFL quarterback is the great 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 grandson of Brigham Young?
Randy, Steve.
That is correct.
Correct.
From
really?
He also went to Brigham.
I know he went to Brigham, yeah.
From listener Josh Irwin on Twitter, who is the last team Eric Dickerson played
Randy.
For?
Randy. Falcons.
That is correct.
Uh-oh.
All right.
It's a tight one.
Who holds the record for most career wins in MLB history?
Randy.
Ooh, Randy got you by a hair
okay,
there, Andy.
Oh, my God. Is it Nolan Ryan?
No, that was incorrect.
Cy Young.
That is correct, and that gives you the victory.
Woohoo!
Andy.
That's 2 weeks in a row I've won. And Randy's doing the worst in the picks. Yeah. I'm a champion.
If you guys could see
I thought
Randy's
I won
face
last
right
week.
Now.
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't win last week?
Because remember Andy threw a hissy fit because we didn't have the board?
Okay, I
did not throw a hissy fit.
No, it was a hissy fit.
I'm a grown man.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't throw hissy fits.
Who doesn't throw hissy fits?
Well, congratulations, Andy.
All
thanks,
right.
Brian.
Randy's devastated.
Way to go, Andy. Good
He's
job,
already
buddy.
On his phone doing something else. What are you like? What's going on? Like, how could you? What's going on the phone during?
I was. Are you really snitching me out?
Yeah, I'm snitching on
you. Oh, that's okay. You know. Hey, great job, fella. Great job, guy.
Andy even upset in a victory.
In fact, I like winning less than I like that I hate losing, because Randy loses like a jerk.
I'm upset.
Yeah, I know.
I am.
I am too. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire world. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I just want to tie from now on, maybe? I don't know what would be the best case scenario. Live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.